Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Why would a man ever abuse his own wife or intentionally scar a son or daughter for life? The root causes can be complex. Today, the personality types that practice abuse in their own families and how to recognize the symptoms early on. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues a series on reclaiming the family as he speaks on abuse, the destructive secret in many families. One kind of abuser is known as the charmer.
They've turned off their consciences. They become incapable, and that's a strong word, but at this point they are incapable of genuine sympathy and weeping with those whom they make weep. And yet, because he's so skilled in lying and deception, and he's got all these things worked out, the charmer comes to church and everybody loves him because he'll do anything for you, remember? And people don't understand that the reason he's so nice and willing to sacrifice on your behalf is because he needs to continue to feed this hero image that he believes he has. And that's, he gets it through the affirmation of others. The wife married to a man like that, bless her heart, can't go to anybody to tell the destructive secret. Because after all, nobody will believe her. After all, she's married to the man that all the other women in church wish they were married to. He would never do something like that. I've known women who have died with the secret, believing that no one would believe them. Now, there are charmers who are the real deal, by the way. They do exist out there, so just relax a little bit. I want to say at this point, but I dare you to find one, but they are out there. Con artists, well, they are more manipulative, and they have a better understanding of what they are doing and so forth. We could go into them. But the bottom line is this, that regardless, the person refuses all responsibility. They're incapable, basically, at this point. I'm not letting them off the hook. But they have so insulated themselves with denial that they have no sense of responsibility for what they are doing. You made me hit you. It's your fault that I took and spanked you and whipped you and tied you to bed. It's your fault, you see. Because they are so narcissistic, they are unable to even understand who they are. Some of the characteristics of them are strict rules without emotion, exacting extreme punishment, mood swings, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And women, by the way, you know, can be narcissistic as well. Sometimes a man comes home and he wonders, what is he going to meet? Is he going to meet a happy woman, the woman that he thought he married, or is he going to meet a woman who is so angry at the slightest possible thing that it's absolutely unpredictable as to what she might do, because there's no cause-effect relationship that makes any sense. It is totally irrational. So is she the woman that when the company leaves becomes angry, but while the company is there is very hospitable and sweet? So you have that kind of personality, unable to handle rejection. You have men who see themselves as worthy of trust. And if you don't trust them, they become victims. What do you mean you don't trust me? It hurts me to think that you would never trust me. So they want to lay that guilt trip on you when in point of fact, there's no reason under God's blue sky as to why you should trust them. They've given you plenty of reasons not to trust them. But they begin to go into that victim mentality. Look at what you are doing to me. And you ought to feel guilty for it. Pride themselves in the strictness of religion. Always beware of a very judgmental spirit. Oftentimes people who are so strict are hiding something. So they pride themselves in this very, very strict religion, and yet they are out of touch with their own sinfulness and out of touch with their own pain. You'll notice what our text says. It says that we should be kind one to another, and then it says tender-hearted. If there's anything that can be said about an abuser, it is simply this. He has lost his tender heart. It is a hard heart, very hard. What are the types of abuse? Let me list them very quickly. Of course, what an abuser wants, what he wants is strict control. He wants to make sure that everything that is under his sphere of influence is done the way he sees that it should be done, with no negotiation that is really meaningful. So there's intimidation by the way he looks, by the way he acts, his gestures, destroying personal property. All do this to you. There are abusers who will kill a pet and then say, you know, what I did to the animal, all do to you. You're next, unless you shape up. Emotional abuse, belittling, name-calling, humiliation, using shame, putting other people down, because the whole idea is, you see, that if I can put you down and make you a pygmy, so to speak, then I'm exalting myself, and you just have to know that in my presence you are scum, because just look at me, look at what I've done. And some people speak to their children this way, destroying their whole sense of well-being, their sense of self-worth. Isolation and control. I remember a woman telling me that her husband would go to the car every morning before he left for work, go to her car, go to the speedometer, and there write down exactly what the mileage was to the last one-tenth of a mile. You know, there are those little gadgets that tell you right to the tenth of a mile. And then he'd come back in the evening and she'd have to give an account for every single mile she drove. Tell me where you were. Wow. Economic control. I keep the money in this house, and if you want any, you come to me. And you know that you're getting it from me. I just want you to know where the money in this house comes from. And you had better give an account as to how you spent every last penny. Maybe calling her on the phone or cell phone dozens of times a day, making sure that he knows exactly where she is, what she's up to, what's happening. Because after all, he is in control. You have abusing male privilege, using the Bible to justify treating his wife as if she were a servant. You know, I'm the head of this home. God put me here. This world is crooked, and he's asked me to straighten it out. And I'm here to make sure that it's going to be straight. And you'd better do it the way I want. And you speak when spoken to and when I want you to. You need to learn submission, dear lady. Physical violence, throwing her against the wall, slapping, beating the children in anger. What shall we say even about sexual abuse? And yes, wives can be sexually abused in a marriage as well, you know, by a self-righteous, determined, self-absorbed man. And then child abuse of all different kinds. Remember this, that in the mind of someone like this, everything is totally justified. His roots go down very, very deeply in the soil of rage, and he is convinced that what he is doing is absolutely right. As I mentioned, that the world is out of shape. He sees himself as probably the last arrow left that is really, really straight. And everybody had better shape up. Furthermore, his conscience has been deadened. Because you see, in his mind, what he's saying is this: when I was growing up, I had my own pain. Why should I worry about the pain of anyone else? I've got my own agenda. Who was there for me when I was growing up, you see? And rather than allowing his past pain to humble him and to make him tender-hearted, it has done the opposite. It has made him very hard-hearted and very, very indifferent to the plight of those who are in need. Well, I've given you a brief outline of abuse. You say, well, what is really the cause? What lies behind it? Why are there people like this? Well, almost always, you know, it does go back to childhood, huge abandonment issues. The feeling that I was abandoned and therefore I have a right to mistreat others. They don't think of it, of course, as mistreatment. And so what happens is this child grows up powerless if he's been abused. He grows up powerless and thinking to himself, someday when I'm stronger than my dad, someday when I'm stronger than those around me, I'm going to find some weak person. He may not be thinking of that consciously. And I will show them a thing or two. I will show them who is the boss. I can't emphasize too strongly that just because you were abused as a child, that does not mean that you have to turn out that way. In fact, the whole purpose of this message and the messages to follow is to break the cycle, is to break the curse. But without help from God, without seeking help at all, you have a tendency to recreate what happened to you. And so it goes from family to family. And there it is. One quarter of all baby girls born this year will be abused sexually by a father, by a mother maybe, by a babysitter, by an uncle, by someone. It's out there, and it's terrible. This is Pastor Lutzer. Yes, my friend, it's out there, and it's terrible. I decided to speak on the topic of abuse in the home when several women here at the church encouraged me to do so. They had experienced it both as young women growing up as well as in their marriages, at least some of them had. And they asked me and challenged me. They said, this exists within the church today. And there are some of you who are listening to this message today, and it exists in your home. And you have decided to keep it a secret, to live with it, because of the shame, because of the fear of what would happen if the truth were exposed. And I'm asking you today, in the name of Jesus, and for the good of your children, and for your own mental health, that if there is abuse going on in your home, go for help. You won't regret that, because to continue on in the situation is detrimental to you and to God's precious family. My friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. May I share my heart with you very briefly? It is because of your support, your love, and your financial interest that we are able to continue this ministry of Running to Win. When you invest with us, the result is transformation of lives in different countries, the gospel of Jesus Christ going out through many outlets, and you are our partner. You're holding hands with us when you go to moodymedia.org. That's moodymedia.org. Click on Endurance Partners, and we are running the race together.
Today, Dr. Erwin Lutzer brought more of A Destructive Secret. Next time, more on breaking the cycle that perpetuates abuse from generation to generation. Reclaiming the Family can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.